From a quarantined studio brought to you by KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica Radio stations and affiliates nationwide. The economic stimulus plan just passed by Congress includes $350 billion in loans to small businesses. But big businesses, like the airline industry, are being given grants. At a time when the coronavirus pandemic is forcing massive shutdowns of entire cities and states, how are small businesses to survive? If workers employed by those businesses are forced to stay at home, but small business owners are seeing a near complete zeroing out of revenues, many, if not most, businesses will be forced to lay off and eventually shut down. My next guest worries that we are on an edge of an extinction event for small businesses. Amanda Ballantyne is executive director of the Main Street Alliance, which is a national network of 30,000 small business owners. Welcome to the program, Amanda.
Thanks, Sonali. Happy to be.
So what are you hearing from your members in the network about how this crisis has impacted them?
We have been working with members around the country who have been impacted by both decreasing customer demand and now also just mandatory shutdowns of their businesses. We've been working with business owners on this for about a month now in different cities. I happen to live in Seattle, where one of the initial outbreaks was. And it's very clear that businesses in impacted sectors, restaurants, bars, now childcare centers, retail stores, you know, stores that face the public and customers are already operating on very thin margins in our economy, and now are, I would say, desperately cash-strapped and really struggling with the choices that they have in front of them. Many small business owners in impacted sectors have already started laying off dramatic sections of their workforce and are really calling for government support, both to keep their businesses open, to pay their fixed costs like rent, and also to help them maintain their payroll intact during this crisis. So this is it's certainly happening to different business sectors differently, and different cities are further along in their process of kind of shutting down or creating more processes to protect public health. We, of course, support that. But it's very clear that public policy is not responding as quickly as small business owners need it to be able to make the choices they have to make to weather this crisis.
Right. We saw the Labor Department's numbers from last week, where 3.3 million Americans filed for unemployment benefits, just an astronomical number. Next week's numbers are expected to be even higher. I imagine many of those laid off workers have worked for small businesses. Unless you happen to have a several month, months of reserves, it's extremely difficult to tide over the storm or even, get through a few weeks at a time, because as you said, a lot of small businesses operate with razor thin margins. But what if, instead of being offered a giant pot of money to give loans to small businesses, the government gave grants?
Yes, like the government of the UK decided to do last week, is to provide payroll subsidies and some subsidies for fixed costs like rent. This is a far better solution than a grant program in terms of incentivizing small business owners to be able to keep their business intact and to be able to keep their workforce intact. And the idea really of subsidizing payroll would also mean that employees of small businesses could stay at their current wages during this crisis and not be thrown into financial chaos, potentially losing their health insurance benefits, and then waiting in line for unemployment benefits in state unemployment systems, which are frankly not prepared to deal with the demand yet that's going to be there.
Right, because they would have a job to come back to after this crisis is over if payroll is being subsidized.
Yes, this is a much more efficient way to handle this crisis, is to just stabilize the small business sector and to stabilize the employees in the small business sector, to keep them, keep money flowing. It keeps money flowing through the economy. It keeps the businesses solvent. And then when businesses can open up again, there's consumer demand and people aren't dealing with eviction processes and you know, trying to find, you know, ways out of credit card debt that they've accumulated. I will say that our members are high road business owners who care a lot about their employees and their workforces, and they have advocated forcefully for much expanded unemployment insurance provisions, and they really have worked hard to make sure that Congress understands the small business and the public interest in making sure that everyone in our economy is covered by unemployment insurance right now. But the fact is that those benefits are, the money is just starting to flow now. Many people will be waiting in line. And a better solution is to keep people in their jobs.
Right.
Yeah.
If the only option they had was to take out a loan to keep workers on payroll, even if it was a low-cost loan, after things were back to normal, they would have to pay back that loan, but they would have had several months of no revenues. So where would they be getting the money to pay back those loans from? I'm wondering if you saw this really interesting and very strongly worded editorial in the New York Times on Thursday called "Why is America Choosing Mass Unemployment?" where it raised some of the issues that you were saying in European nations. And I'll quote for you and our audience. The New York Times pointed out that Denmark has agreed to compensate Danish employers for up to 90% of their workers' salaries. In the Netherlands, companies facing a loss of at least 20% of their revenue can similarly apply for the government to cover 90% of payroll. The UK announced it would pay up to 80% of the wage bill for as many companies as needed the help, with no cap on the total amount of public spending. So it looks as though, Amanda, that our government is seeing a $1,200 single payout per adult and loans for business owners as a substitute for simply preserving employment. But this isn't going to work, is it?
Well, so no, but there is a correction. Mm-hmm. I think the loan program that came out in the legislation that just passed is, it's actually a system where first a business owner would get a loan, and then if they maintain their payroll intact for a period of time, that loan would convert to a grant.
I see.
So the idea that you're talking about is sort of reflected in the legislation that passed, but the way it's structured, we're very concerned will not be effective. And the reason for that is that business owners are going to be very nervous about taking out a loan when they don't know what the economy will look like in 6 months and when the terms of the loan are not totally clear. So there's some question about how long this crisis is going to be impacting our economy. The program is designed to cover a certain period of time, and then it may be extended. And there are questions, you know, an employer would have to have, you know, their payroll at a similar level that they had at a certain previous date to prove that they've maintained their payroll intact. The challenge is that business owners are, first of all, going to be very nervous about taking out a loan right now to cover payroll, and are already having to make decisions about layoffs. It's unclear now whether we can prevent those layoff surges that we started seeing this week. I think the other challenge is that the loan fund is not actually big enough to meet the need of the demand. And we're not totally sure it's designed in a way that small and independent businesses will be able to access it, right? So there are a lot of questions about how the loan program will actually function. And those questions are going to be question marks in small business owners' mind. Can I handle and absorb the risk of this loan if I can't meet its terms? I'll say that the application criteria has been streamlined to make them more accessible, but it's also, there are design problems that just cause us to be very concerned and think that it's not the most efficient way to get business owners engaged in this sort of program of keeping their workforces intact.
Now, it seems as though there's also no accounting for the fact that businesses might have already closed down, right? You said that you're in Seattle. The state of Washington has been the first state that saw the coronavirus, cause havoc in the state. I imagine that already there are businesses that are shutting down. This piece of legislation didn't come as soon as it could have come for a lot of small businesses. And I'm also wondering whether you think that a lot of the businesses that the US relies on are seen as expendable to our economy, because we're told over and over again that there are certain industries, certain businesses that are too big to fail. That was the language that came out of the 2008-2009 recession when banks were bailed out. So if one is so large, one can expect government assistance, but small business owners are apparently disposable, expendable. I'm wondering how you respond to that language that the big businesses are the ones that need saving.
Yeah, it certainly is jarring that the large business program was designed as a grant and the small business program was designed as a loan. Small businesses make up a massive number of the American workforce. They employ a massive number of the American workforce. And there's a shared public interest that everyone has in keeping workers on payroll and ensuring that our small business sector is intact. Failure to do those things will lead to increased corporate consolidation. It will lead to, private equity buying up the value in many small business sectors. And it'll put us in a situation where we no longer have the rich small business sector that keeps our economy functioning and flowing at the local level. So I definitely think there's often a lot of lip service paid to small business. I think in this bill, there was certainly an attempt to provide assistance to small business, but it did not understand the scope of the problem that's confronting small business. The legislation shows that. And it also, the structural design of it will not produce the intended effects of it. So I think you're absolutely right. Corporate power was at play here. Small business owners did not, in this package, get the support that they needed. And that is going to have a negative impact on small business owners themselves, but also workers in our economy and in our whole economy in general.
There's also the issue of rising healthcare costs and the fact that when workers lose their jobs, workers who are employed by small businesses lose their jobs, if there isn't a state support, they are likely to lose health insurance as well. I mean, if we had a Medicare for all system, which is something that's been talked about a lot these days, but we're told over and over again it costs too much. Yet, of course, the Congress had no problem in coughing up $2.2 trillion in just one stimulus package. But something like a Medicare for All program, had we invested in our health insurance, that would have made us a more resilient country. It would have also benefited small businesses who would have had lowered costs for their employees, right?
Yeah. So small business has a very deep interest in universal health care. It's just true that it's a more efficient system for small business owners to pay a small tax to get their employees covered, so that element of competing for talent is no longer in play. But also, then they don't have to worry about administering healthcare problems in healthcare programs, private insurance programs, which is it's a significant administrative undertaking for small business owners who provide. Many small business owners in the service sector don't necessarily have their own sort of private healthcare plans that they're offering, and they may already subsidize their business or their employees to be on the exchange. And then there are going to just be many low wage workers in the small business sector who don't have health insurance either. So for small business owners, universal healthcare will always be a win. It will always be a win to make sure that employees are covered and they aren't thrown off. And I think right now is a critical example of that. We have small business owners in our network who are robbing their children's college funds to keep their workers on health insurance right now.
Wow.
As they're laying them off. I mean, it's a really terrible crisis situation, and the cash flow just isn't there for many, many small business owners to maintain private health insurance plans for furloughed workers. It's a real crisis. It's a very serious crisis.
Now, you wrote a piece called American Small Businesses Are on the Edge of Extinction Event and Congress Is Not Doing Enough. And I'm wondering if you fear that, just as we saw in the wake of the mortgage, subprime mortgage crisis, where shuttered homes were just bought up en masse by big businesses, by hedge fund investors, that a lot of the ideas, investments, infrastructure that small businesses have poured into, pouring their heart and soul into these businesses and these endeavors, are likely to be snatched up by big corporations at this time when they're most vulnerable, when they're on the verge of shutting down.
Yep. We're already seeing and hearing from our members about high pressure sales pitches that are, you know, where firms are offering small business owners in struggling sectors pennies on the dollar for their businesses, really targeting businesses that are on prime real estate, really targeting businesses with, you know, well-known local brands. And I would say that that is a chief concern and should be concerning anyone in our economy who cares deeply about corporate consolidation. And who see, you know, who remembers what private equity did during the housing crisis, that those dynamics will absolutely be at play and they will emerge faster than anyone can imagine.
There, we talked about the cost of health insurance. There's also the cost of rent for a lot of small businesses, right? We're hearing some talk from governors of some states to prevent evictions or to have rent postponements or rent holidays. How serious an issue is rent for small businesses?
Commercial rent and commercial mortgages are important fixed costs that many small business owners are now struggling to figure out how to pay. There are a lot of people in conversation with their banks and their landlords right now, but remember that you know, landlords are also business owners and there could be a domino effect there, you know, with the negotiations around that. So we really actually believe there should be rent and mortgage forbearance, and there should be policies put in place to support that so there isn't a collapse in those industries. But the other thing I would say about fixed costs for small business owners is that many of the options they're being offered right now are deferred payments and loans. And that creates what we would call maybe a debt bomb, right? So it might help the small business owners get through 3 months of closure right now, if that's what ends up happening in some cities. But it will create a structural debt problem for small businesses going forward, which will make it much slower for them to recover and to rehire employees and to build and grow their businesses. I'd also say there's a pretty significant concern right now that we don't have adequate regulations and protections in place, particularly on predatory lending in the fintech space. Online lenders who aren't covered by the same banking regulations as some of the more traditional banks in our economy, in the same way, are offering credit with bad terms, sky-high interest rates, unclear repayment provisions to desperate business owners. And many small business owners are really just scraping by with their own income, right? And so I think there's a very significant concern about predatory lending really, really hampering our small business sector and forcing a lot of people into bankruptcy, frankly.
What can Americans who are hunkered down at home and who may have, you know, somehow be employed with a steady job because they just happen to be able to work from home, what do you suggest they do for small businesses? You know, many of us have small businesses that are beloved in our community, that are institutions, or maybe they're new businesses that we've grown to rely on that give character to our neighborhoods, that are, you know, serving really important needs, even in this moment of crisis. How can people support their small businesses? Because it can be tempting to say, you know, cut off your gym membership to the local gym that's run by, you know, a local person in your neighborhood because you can't use the gym at this time.
So I think that's a good point. If you have subscriptions to businesses and newspapers, frankly, by the way, right, that you can continue to maintain, if you can afford to do that right now, please do. It's essential that income come in. Many small business owners in the food sector are working to pivot their operation right now to serve grocery, which is an industry that's exploding. So purchasing local brands at your grocery store to the extent that's possible will help. Asking your local grocery store to carry local brands of foods from maybe restaurants that have started putting packaged food out as part of their resilience strategy. And I think to the extent that you can, ordering and doing delivery from restaurants locally, and just keeping your business going to those places as much as possible. But I don't want to, I think even more than that consumer activity, what people can do to really support small business, small independent business right now is call your legislators and tell them that small business owners, they need a bailout. They need to be able to cover their rent, that loans aren't enough, and that our economy will be reshaped in ways that nobody in our community wants if we lose our local businesses. So I think really being in touch with your small business owners about what they need and helping them communicate that to legislators so that legislators understand that this is a community crisis. And it's a crisis for all of our neighborhoods and communities, not just for the business owners themselves.
Right. I'm so glad you brought up that issue because it's so tempting for so many of us to turn to individual actions in lieu of political actions and political activism. And it doesn't have to be either or, it can be both and. And at this time when it's not quite possible to go out and protest en masse, we still have the ability to pick up the phone, to send emails, and to use those digital means of communicating with lawmakers who are constantly bombarded by corporate lobbyists day in, day out. That's who they hear from more than others and more than organizations and networks like yours, I imagine, which is probably not as well funded as Boeing probably employs far more lobbyists than we any of us can imagine.
Boeing does have more lobbyists than we do. It's true. But I do think that, like I said, I think everybody in our whole society has an interest in keeping our small business sector solvent and keeping those jobs in place right now. And that's what we should be demanding. Yes, we need expanded unemployment. We need expanded emergency health insurance. We also just frankly need to be able to keep our jobs, and we need to be able to support the businesses that are impacted to keep people in their jobs. And that's the most efficient solution that we can have right now.
Right. Pouring money into keeping people employed directly would be a much more efficient use of tax dollars that are incidentally, of course, our tax dollars, money that comes from those who are consumers of small businesses, who are owners of small businesses, and who are workers in small businesses, right? We have to remind ourselves, this is our money.
Yep, exactly. I mean, that's right. And we can't stress enough that keeping employment steady right now is the right solution to keeping the economy intact so that we can bounce back quickly and we don't end up in a deep recession.
Where can people find out more about the work you do with your website and also read the article that you'd written?
So the article right now is posted on Common Dreams. There's a lot of press and media coming from our network. So if you want to hear stories from small business owners themselves, you can go to mainstreetalliance.org. We've also created a microsite that's specifically focused on small business responses to the COVID-19 virus, which includes a policy agenda for city, local, state, and national work, as well as stories and information that will be helpful to small business owners in starting to navigate some of the choices they have to make.
We'll post a link to your article as well as mainstreetalliance.org from our website. Amanda, good luck to you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Sonali. Take care.
My guest has been Amanda Ballantyne, Executive Director of the Main Street Alliance, a national network of 30,000 small business owners. We've been discussing how small businesses are on the edge of extinction during this pandemic unless Congress acts fast. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at RU with Sonali.